Everything in our world changes. I think the only thing that's really constant among us is change. It just goes on all the time. It changes, except for God's Word. You might say, but there are different versions that come out. Well, there are, but I think the essence of God's Word really doesn't change. It stays constant. I love Isaiah 40 and verse 8. It was the last verse in that responsive reading where it says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God stands forever." My premise this morning, the primary premise that I'm sharing with is the belief that the Bible is God's Word. It's not Michael's word, it's not anybody else's word, it's God's word, okay? It came directly from Him. If you don't accept that or don't believe that, I don't know what to tell. I was going to say take a nap, but the wrong people will do that. So I don't want to say that, okay? I do want to just be very transparent with you this morning and open, though. I share some of these things when we have the small groups, the Growing Strong in God's Family group, and share with you just some of my personal struggle in terms of my own spiritual disciplines. Folks, I am well aware that I harp on you about reading God's Word, okay? I know that, and I hear from you about it at times. I also know that I harp on it with a clear conscience, okay? Because I read it every day, okay? I practice what I preach, all right? There was a time in my life very early as a pastor when that wasn't true, when I would harp on people about being in the Word, and I really wasn't doing that on a daily basis myself, and struggled with that for a while. And part of that struggle came because when I attended Oregon Bible College, what is this? It's a textbook. And when do you read textbooks? You don't, okay? Unless it's absolutely necessary. Nobody reads a textbook unless you absolutely have to cram for the final test. I spent a lot of time in the Word and sermon preparation and Bible studies and Sunday school and those kinds of things. But that was for other people. That wasn't spending time in the Word between me and God, in my relationship with God. And I think that that's why He gave us the book, was for our relationship personally with Him. So I struggled with that for quite a while. I went to a training seminar for that Growing Strong in God's Family course. That's actually 6 courses, and went to that training and led a group for the first time. And actually began practicing what I preach, reading my Bible on a daily basis. And I still wrestled with it, and I'm honest with you in that, because I think many people do, and I think that's just human. That's called developing a new habit, you know, developing a new discipline. Oftentimes it takes some effort, it takes some work. You don't just jump right in and automatically become very disciplined in doing something. Linda was struggling with that as well, and I'll give Linda credit. It really was through her encouragement, because she jumped in one day and she said, "I'm going to do this, and you ought to do it too." "Really? Well, I'm your pastor. You don't tell me that." I was also her husband, and she had every right to tell me that, okay? And so it was really with her encouragement, and I had been off and on and more off than on at times, and so we jumped in together. And we both read every day, and we have for a long time. And I don't say that to sound bragging at all. I say that to share that I think that's called integrity, okay? That I need to practice what I preach. So I read the Bible every day, and I have for a long time. My excuses were as good as anyone's, you know, in that struggle. And I'm not going to tell you what mine were, because I don't want to give you any ideas like that at all. But I'm in the Word every day. I don't miss. I make the time, I take the time, it's a part of my daily life, no matter what's going on, no matter on vacation, no matter having company, no matter what's going on, part of my day is spent meeting with God and listening to what He has to say to me in the Word. That helps me keep my balance in life. That helps me keep perspective about some things. That helps me keep my sanity. At times, because we live in a crazy world. I don't know if you all have noticed that or not, but things are nuts, and so staying in the Word really helps me stay grounded and stay balanced. So I just want you to know, when I harp on you about it, I'm doing it too, okay? I'm spending time in the Word. Well, let me share some benefits of doing that. Aside from just those personal thoughts in terms of staying grounded and keeping my perspective and my sanity and all of that, this is not an all-inclusive list, but it's just some things that came to mind in terms of the benefits of listening to God, listening to what He has to say to us. See, I don't think what I say to you is all that big a deal, because Michael's no big deal. You know, I've said that before. If you never met me, I don't know that it would have impacted your life all that much anyway. But not to meet Jesus Christ and not to have interaction with God through His Word, I think would be tragic. So you need to be listening to what He has to say. So just some personal, some benefits that we gain from spending daily time in the Word. The first one is just guidance to live a pure life. And when I say a pure life, I mean pure life by God's standards, not somebody else's. Because the world changes and the lines are being redrawn all the time. We cross the line and we redraw it, and people cross the line and they redraw it, and it just gets nuts. God's Word stays the same. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" Great question. "By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So, see, we can live God's way. We can live by God's standard when we get to know His word, when we listen to what He's telling us through His word. That's what counts. So I think we need to take the time to read it and to learn it, because there are so many other options. There are so many other different ways to go and behaviors that have become totally acceptable that are abhorrent to God. So we learn to live a pure life by God's standards, by learning what He has to say to us in His Word. It doesn't change. Secondly, it's a way that we can get to know God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. This is a fun chapter. There's some great stuff in it. We get to know God by listening to what He has to say to us, by reading what He tells us about Himself. And that's what the Bible does. It reveals God to us. We come to know Him by looking at His Word. Look at Isaiah 55. Look, first of all, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon." There are times when I hear people talking about God like He's an old man in heaven with a gray beard, just waiting for us to have some fun so He can zap us, you know, and take away all our fun. And I just don't picture God that way at all. I don't think that's how God is pictured in His Word. That's not how He reveals Himself to us. He says, "Seek Him while He may be found. Come to Him because He wants us to be close to Him." He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and He will freely pardon." So He's not waiting to zap us and ruin all our fun. He's standing with open arms, wanting to draw us in and give us a big hug and tell us to straighten up and live His way, because it's far more beneficial than living our own way. Look at verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, He thinks differently. As we come to know Him, as we read His Word, as we listen to what He has to say to us through His Word, we learn to think in a different way. We learn to think the way He would think. Philippians 4:8 is another great text along that line. Paul there says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." See, God wants us to think in His way, not in the crazy world's way. The world's just out for itself. The world's very selfish. The world's very sinful. The world just wants to do things that are evil and bad, oftentimes. God says, "No, I want you to think in a different way. Think like I do, because my thoughts are way above your thoughts." Ever had that thought as a parent, parents? Where your kid's getting a little lippy, and you go, "My thoughts are better than your thoughts," you know? Well, see, God doesn't have to go, "Rent, rent, rent." He just says, "Hey, I'm God. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And as we read His Word and as we get to know Him, we learn to think much more in His ways. Look at verses 10 and 11. It says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's saying he has great purposes for our lives, saying that we can live a productive life, saying that when his word goes out and goes forth, it doesn't come back empty. When we allow his word into our lives, when we read it, when we study it, when we listen to what God is saying to us, it has a profound effect upon our life. And I love hearing those kinds of testimonies. You know, hearing people say that they had a real anger problem and getting into the word helped them deal with all that. Saying that they had a real road rage problem that they'd yell and scream and carry on, and that as they got into the word and allowed God's word in their life, you know, they realized how silly that was and quit it. People saying that they had a real problem with their bad language, and that as they got into the word, it really helped to help them to cut all of that out. God's word doesn't come back empty. When it goes into our lives, it has a profound effect. It helps us to get to know God. Thirdly, we need to get into the word because it has relative information for all of our lives. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think as we spend time in God's word, we learn wonderful information about all kinds of issues in life. And it's information that's highly reliable, that doesn't change. Our society changes all the time. The trends change. What's cool changes. You know, it all changes, and yet God's word gives us practical information and principles to help us deal with virtually any situation that we face. Now, I say it gives us principles because obviously it doesn't give us specifics about every situation that we face. But it certainly gives us some great principles. You know, I'm thinking about medical ethics and how medicine has changed in the time that I've been a pastor, and how a lot of the questions about death and dying and about the beginning of life as well, those questions have all changed. It's all different now than what it used to be. But see, I think we're given principles in God's word that we respect life and respect the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. I mean, when you have that belief and understand that that's God's stand from Scripture, it really guides a lot of what you do. So it may not deal with specific issues or very specific things, but the principles are there to help us, I think, virtually with all of life. It's just a matter of learning those and spending time and getting them into our head and into our heart. Fourthly, it provides life-changing power as we spend time in the Word. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When God's Word gets into our life, it changes our lives. It's living, it's active, it's powerful, it's God's Word. It's not just words on a page. It's God's words to us. So it has a huge impact in our lives. You know, as I struggled with my personal spiritual disciplines and getting into the Word, I was kind of doing that off and on, and I read a book written by Gordon MacDonald called Ordering Your Private World. And that was an incredible book. He talked about our lives on the inside, you know, the part that people don't see that much, and the way that that is revealed outwardly. And one of the things he talked about was getting into the Word and the need to do that. In that book, Ordering Your Private World, really got me into this book. Okay, I've not read Ordering Your Private World in a long, long time. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that book, and somebody said, you know, I think you loaned that to me. I think I still have it. I said, give it back! But I hadn't even missed it. Okay, because I don't read Ordering Your Private World every day. But it got me into reading the Bible every day. And the Bible has an incredible impact upon my life. And it will in your life as well. I heard a prominent politician the other day talk about information being distracting. It's distracting when it goes against, you know, that politician's agenda. He doesn't want other viewpoints out there or whatever. That's not true with the Bible. Knowledge is powerful, and when we allow God's word into our life, it has a powerful impact upon us. I think the other absolutely amazing thing about God's word being living and active is that it stays fresh. You know, when I read the Bible now as grandpa, that's very different than when I read it as a Bible college student that didn't know nothing, honey. You know? It's very different reading the Bible as a married 20-year-old to reading the Bible now, 30-some years later. But it always stays fresh. It's amazing to me how an 18-year-old Bible college student can learn the Bible and it be fresh and new. And how a 60-year-old with a PhD in theology can read the Bible and study, and it can be fresh, and it can be new. See, it's not stagnant. His word is living and active, and wherever we are at in our life, God meets us there through his word, and it has an incredible impact upon us. I also thoroughly enjoy that it's so real. In Hebrews 4:15, it's talking about Jesus. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." See, it says Jesus was perfect, but he was tempted in every way as we are, yet he made the right choice. And it shows us a whole lot of other human beings in the Bible, and the saying is warts and all. It shows us that they were human. It shows us that they made dumb mistakes, and they made dumb choices, and they paid severe consequences for all of that. And the beauty is that we get to learn by their dumb mistakes. We don't have to make those ourselves. But the Bible's not about a whole bunch of perfect people. It's about a whole bunch of human people that God worked in their life and they were ordinary people and did extraordinary things because they were listening to God and allowing him to impact them. And that's what I want for you as well. Fifthly, reading God's word or being involved in it brings blessings to us. Turn over to James, the book of James with me, the first chapter in verses 22 through 25. God intends to impact our heart, not just our head, when we read his word. So when we obey, when we do God's word, it brings blessings. It brings approval. When we go do our own thing, and oftentimes that sin, that brings consequences. When we obey God and do things his way, and that can be fun and that can be enjoyable and significant and very meaningful, then it brings blessings to us. James says it in very practical terms. Chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Obedience to the word brings blessing. Non-obedience doesn't. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy." It's the only book that promises a blessing for reading it. People all the time say, "Revelation is so hard to understand." Well, maybe parts of it are, but you're blessed in reading it. Okay, it's the only book that promises that. Involvement in God's word, obeying God's word, brings blessings to us because then we're doing it his way. Turn over a few pages to 2 Peter 1 and verses 20 and 21. This is one of the points that I missed as a Bible college student, looking at the Bible as a textbook instead of God's personal love letter to me. In 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, it says, hey, it's for you. It's from God to you. It says there, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." God used about 39 or 40 authors of the books of the Bible, used their personality, used their writing style, spoke through them, and wrote his love letter to all of us. It's directly from God. It's not a textbook. It's God's personal letter to you. Came from him, inspired by him, directly to you. That makes you pretty special. Number 7, reading daily gives you something of significance to share. Look at just back a page, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. It says, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and with respect. You see, the Scripture sets forth the whole plan of God for all eternity. It tells us about daily life. It tells us about the meaning and significance of life. It tells us about death. And it tells us about what happens after that. And as we interact with it, as we get it into our lives, and then share that, that message that we share can have eternal significance in the lives of other people as well. As folks see that message fleshed out in my life, see how I live it, that may impact them and impact their eternity as well. Peter says, always be ready to share. And as we're in the Word regularly, thinking the way God thinks, I think there's so often we have things to share. Just about the whether it's just the beauty of the day and who made the day, or you know, other things that have occurred. And number 8, I just wanted to say that the Bible's complete. It starts in Genesis 1:1 saying, in the beginning. And it ends in Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21, and where Jesus says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it gives us all that we need. Do we know all the answers? No. Do we understand it all perfectly? No, not necessarily. But it gives us all that we really need. And the more we read it and the more we interact with it and the more it becomes a part of our heart, the easier it is to share with other folks. That's not an all-inclusive list, folks. We could go on much longer about the benefits of reading. Just do it. You know, we just need to do it. But in practical terms, let me share some things with you. If you're struggling with that discipline of reading daily or some type of regularly, maybe these kinds of suggestions will help. And if you are and you want to come and share that with me, I'll do anything I can to encourage and to help you. A whole bunch of you have taken the Growing Strong in God's Family course. Some of you have taken the second course as well. A bunch of you have forgotten all that and are not and left that discipline behind and need to revive it. And that's okay. You're human. Okay? I just want to encourage you to revive it and to get into the Word. So the first thing I would encourage you to do is get into a small group. I think it's important to be in a small group because you gain strength from each other, and then there's that little word accountability, which is number 9. And then I say see number 1. Okay? And I'll say more about that in a second. But I think it's important to be in a small group. It can really be a powerful thing. Secondly, I think you need to set a realistic goal of consistent daily Bible reading. Now, a realistic goal is, I'm going to read for 3 hours a day and never miss. No, you're not. Okay? That's not realistic. If you said to me, I'm going to read for 3 minutes a day, I'd say, great. You go, 3 minutes? How stupid is that? No, if you're not reading at all, 3 minutes is victory. 3 minutes is growth. Even if it's during the commercial, see, my granddaughter even agrees. If it's during a commercial break in your favorite TV show and you sit down and you open your Word, is that the best? No, but that's growth in the right direction. Okay? Because you're opening the Word. So set a realistic goal of sitting down, opening God's Word, and listening to Him. Thirdly, try and pick a time. I think mornings are best because that shapes your day. It gives you something to think about throughout the day. Now, I can be very honest and tell you, I generally don't do it in the morning. Okay? It's not because I'm not a morning person. I generally get up at 5:15. So I'm up and at it in the morning. But Lynn and I generally do our daily Bible reading together. Okay, so it usually happens later in the day. So as early in the day as possible, But I still think morning is best, and I would encourage you to that. Try and set a time. Make it a priority and say, at that time, that's my time to be with God. I'm going to use it that way. Fourthly, pick a place. Not your favorite easy chair. Not in front of the television. Okay? But pick a place, and that place will become very special to you, because when you go to that place, and maybe it's just at the kitchen table, but it's not the chair you normally sit in. Maybe it's the chair around the corner. And then you know that when you sit in that chair, in that place, at that time, you're there for a reason. You're there for a relationship. You're not there just to goof around. You have a date with God, and you're going to encounter God by listening to what He has to say to you. So that time and that place then become very special. I would encourage you to start with the New Testament. Now, oftentimes people say, I'm going to read through the whole Bible, and they start in Genesis. And if they make it through Genesis and Exodus, hardly anybody survives Leviticus. Okay? That's just tough. Now, am I going to say don't do that? I am, kind of, but I don't want to discourage people from reading the Bible. I just want you to read it effectively. Okay? There's reading plans where the purpose is to read through the whole Bible in a year, and that's wonderful. But that's really a little different purpose than what I'm talking about, as I talk about listening to what God has to say to us. Because if you're going to listen, you don't do that in a hurry, and it's not a race. Reading program requires at least 3 chapters a day. And you go about 3 days, and you do great, and then you miss the fourth day, and on the fifth day, you got to read 6 chapters. And about the eighth or ninth day, you quit because you're 27 chapters behind and there's no hope of catching up. Okay? What I say is, if you miss a day reading, listening to God, so what? You missed a day. You pick it up the next day and you listen to God again. Okay? Because you're not trying to read for a race to get through it. You're just trying to read to listen to what God has to say to you. So start in the New Testament. Books like James or 1st and 2nd Peter or 1st John are great, okay? And if you want to read a gospel, I encourage people to read Mark, because it's like the Reader's Digest version is full of action. It's just action-packed, always doing something, and it's the shortest as well, okay? And if you keep track of what you're reading, you can look back and you go, wow, I already read 6 whole books of the Bible. Well, it's a total of 4 pages, but that's great, okay? That's victory. That's developing an important personal discipline. So start in the New Testament. Number 6, read through whole books at a time. Okay? Read the whole book of James. Read the whole book of 1 Peter. Read the whole book of 2 Peter. Read the whole book of 1 John. Don't jump around here and there and everywhere. And don't start in Isaiah that's 927 pages long. And then you don't get through it and you don't feel like you're doing, making real progress. If you start with them shorter books, you read through the whole book. It also helps you understand and get a better idea of what's being said when you read through the whole book instead of just jumping around here and there and everywhere, setting your Bible by the open window and letting the pages blow and then reading the spot where it stops blowing. That's not very effective, okay? So read through a whole book at a time. And the exceptions to that, I think, are Psalms and Proverbs, okay? Maybe you want to read a couple psalms a day or something like that. Proverbs kind of stands on its own. You could read a chapter a day, and I think that's fine. But I don't encourage people to jump around all over the place. When you sit down at that time, in that place, for that date with God, ask God to speak to your heart. That's just called praying. It's a simple little prayer. Say, God, let me hear what you're saying to me today as I read through this. And sometimes you have to read until you're in the mood to read. Okay? You just have to read long enough to deal with all the noise in your head and hear what God is saying to you, okay? So ask God to speak to you. Try and find a quiet place. You moms with 4 toddlers at home, it's tough. And I cut you all the slack in the world, okay? You can still do it. It just probably takes more effort than those of us without kids at home, okay? Number 8, I encourage people to interact. It actually encourages people to mark in their Bibles things that are very significant to them. As they're listening to what God has to say, you'll see a line or a phrase and go, wow, I really like that thought. And so I encourage people to mark that. You can take that one thought or that one verse and write it down, and then just write what impresses you from that verse, or how you hear God speaking to you, or what applications you see in that verse, or the promise that's listed there and what you want to do about it in your life. So you see, you're not just listening, but you're using more of your senses in interacting with God's Word, because it's living and active and sharper than a sword, and it'll touch your heart, and God will do surgery on you if you let him. Okay? So I think it's just a way to benefit that much more. And then number 9, if you can do that in a group and share those things that God is speaking to you, I think it's wonderful. In the Growing Strong group, that only lasts for 9 weeks, and the accountability in those groups, I think, is about that big. Because I simply ask on the second night that we meet, I say, how many times did you read your Bible in the last 7 days? The answer obviously can be anywhere from 0 to 7. Okay? Usually the first couple of weeks, I hear a 1 or a 2, and I celebrate that. That's great, because that's growth and that's progress, and that's what we're about, lifting people up. So you only read one time and you threw them a party? Yes. We get out the kazoos, woohoo, yippee, you know, because it's growth and that's what we're after. Now, 8 weeks into it, I don't want to hear 1 or 2. I'd like to hear 6 or 7, you know, at that point. That's growth. That's kind of what we're working toward. But you'd be amazed at how powerful that accountability is, because we answer out loud how many times we read, okay? And again, as a matter of integrity, I'll tell you, nobody in those groups has ever heard me say anything other than 7, okay? Because I need to have integrity and practice what I preach, and so I do that. Ezra, so hopefully those are some practical things that will help. And if you want to talk more about that, I'd love to anytime with you. Ezra really had the right idea. And the right discipline in Ezra 7 and verse 10. It says, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching his decrees and laws in Israel. It's great. He studied it and he obeyed it and he shared it with other folks. And I think that's what we're called to do. I put there at the very end, and I noticed Judy put in the bulletin some filler, some Bible facts. I just thought those were fun. A lot of people say Psalm 118:8 is the middle verse in the Bible. And believe it or not, it depends. Because there are sections of the Bible that they're not sure were there in the original and stuff. That's a great verse, though. It says it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. Others argue that, and they say, no, actually it's Psalm 103, 1 and 2 that says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And that those words in the middle that I put in bold, praise his holy name, that's actually the very center of the Bible. Who cares? Just get into it. Okay? I want you in the beginning and in the middle and in the end of the Bible just listening to what God has to say to you. We need to be listening to what the Lord says to us. And when everything else is gone, the Bible will still stand.